We trust that you will be inspired, helped, and impacted by this message recorded at Bridge.
Father, we just thank you so much. Thank you so much for all that you are. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to connect with you, to grow and to receive all that you have for us. Please, Lord, give us the wisdom we need to engage with others and to be more like you. Father, we ask today that you'll give us the strength to make the changes that need to be made. Father, we thank you for all that you are and for all that you do for us every day. Thank you for our families. Thank you for your provision. And thank you for a new year in Jesus' name. Anyone said? As we come towards the beginning of a year or something new, isn't it amazing that most of us have this innate desire to set goals or to plan a little more? And I'd imagine that for most of us, we've kind of started the process of setting some goals for the year. Maybe it's for business or health or eating. And Justin spoke earlier about New Year's resolutions. And maybe we've started to define some of the things that are important to us. And we start to think, hey, my word, I need to plan better for my family this year. I need to lose some weight or whatever it might be. And we start to plan and have this visionary moment every year. And we all know this, don't we? Intrinsically, each and every one of us know the importance of this. In fact, if you're older than 7, you would have heard someone talk to you about the importance of planning and goal setting in your life. It's just everybody knows this. There are hundreds of books that have been written on the process. There are thousands of pieces of literature on the value of goal setting and vision casting and how to set goals and how to set visions. You can read books on the 7 systems for the highly effective goal setters and 7 plans that will help you to be a better vision caster. And we see this all over the place. And that's real. We all know that. And goals are important. And that's great. We must set them. And even Roy T. Bennett, who wrote a book called Light in the Heart, said this: create a vision for the life you really want, and then work relentlessly towards making it a reality. It's important to set a goal. In fact, if you don't set goals, if you don't cast vision, make no mistake, beyond a shadow of a doubt, make no mistake, you are unlikely to be significant or unlikely to reach any form of success. We will be significantly better prepared for a year of success if we start documenting and writing goals. In fact, I would imagine that some of us have even started setting some. Hey, how many of us have set goals, things like, I'm going to get out of debt or get into less debt this year and have more money? That's a great goal. How about, I want to eat more healthily? And I'm sure that even so far we're cheating just a little. Maybe for some of you, if you're at varsity or at school, you want better grades, or maybe you want to read more. That's a great goal. I'm going to read more books. I'm going to read. My mentor reads 5 books a week. 5 books a week. That's my goal in a year. No, I'm joking. That's my goal for a month. I genuinely want to read 5 books a month, and that's like more than a book a week. It's not easy. It's not easy. And you've got to set those goals. But how about if you're a follower of Jesus today? I would hope that your goal, or at least one of them, is to draw a little closer to Jesus. That would be a good one, right? If you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe your goal is to not give your wife a hard time because she follows Jesus. Maybe that's your goal. Whatever it is, you're on that journey. Each and every one of us are setting goals. Setting goals matters. If you haven't started setting goals, congratulations, your year's going to suck. You need to start setting goals. That's real, right? Are you okay today? You need to realize that. And we need, though, to be careful that we don't end up setting goals that are merely frivolous New Year's resolutions. Frivolity won't take us anywhere. Don't set goals that, as we heard earlier tonight, that we're going to be all over and forgotten about in the next week or so. Look at these New Year's resolutions that I found. Some of them are quite funny, some of them a little odd. How's this one? It's a really, really important one, I think, that we should all adhere to. Never again will I take sleeping tablets and laxatives on the same night. Hey, at Bridge Church, we want to help you have a good night's sleep. Have you thought about that for a moment? That's quite gross. How about this one? Oops, I forgot to work out yesterday and today. Guess my New Year's resolution will have to wait till next year. Someone else, my New Year's resolution is to become more assertive, if that's okay with you guys. My New Year's resolution is not to make $1 million. Going great so far. How's this one? This is definitely not one of my children who wrote this. My New Year's resolution is never to again accidentally walk in on my dad while he's cleaning the shower naked. The next one applies to me. Just burnt 2,000 calories. My New Year's resolution, never leave brownies in the oven when taking a nap. New Year's resolution. How about this one? My New Year's resolution is never to go to gym on days ending in Y. Now, these are not good examples of effective goal setting, although maybe the first one will help us. But we need, nonetheless, to set goals that will help us to be more effective. You see, the series we're going to be engaging in over the next period of time has little or nothing actually to do with goal setting at all. In fact, nothing of any real value around vision either, but I'm setting the tone to give us some context because there are benefits to setting goals. In fact, one of the things that we're going to do this year is we're going to change it up. We're going to be doing different things in the course of church life. We're going to be shifting some of the things that we do in services to take us to the next level, of which one of them is to take the outline away. So what's going to start happening is that the outline, as you have it tonight, the printed outline will disappear. In fact, for a period of time, you'll have a blank one, and you can fill it in and carry on that journey, and then that too will pass. And the reason for that is not because we have anything against outlines. In fact, they are very, very valuable. But what we want to do as a church is we want to help each and every one of us get better at note-taking. And instead of us doing all the work for you, we're going to encourage you to think, encourage you to take notes that are going to inspire you and help you and take you to the next level. So taking notes is important. Now, I know that not all of us take notes, which is a pity because all great leaders are note-takers. Yeah. If you're not in the habit of taking notes, I do want to encourage you to recognize that it's unlikely that you'll be a significant leader. That's not me being horrible, it's just me being honest. The reality is there's no way, if you don't take notes, that you will ever remember any more than maybe 1 or 2% of anything you're taught in any context. Imagine if you went to university and sat in a lecture and never took notes. Good luck. In fact, many of you tried university that way and realized that there's a different avenue in life for you. Because you see, we have to take notes, and I want to encourage you to do that. So there'll be blank outlines for a while. Then we'll produce some branded journals that you'll be able to buy at the resource center and use those should you wish to. But I'm going to encourage you, open up your hearts and get ready for the process of taking notes to drive the way you think. It'll help you at home. It'll help you in the workplace. It'll help us all in this room to be better followers of Christ. You all okay? But and then one of the things that we need to recognize about goals is that when we do things like that, it starts to change the way we operate. Look at this. I'm going to give you some notes now. 5 or 6 things, benefits of taking notes. I mean, it's not taking notes, or setting goals. 5 or 6 things are important benefits of taking goals, writing them down, and being ready for them. Now, hey, there's no outline in your note for that. There's no blank. This is a good place to start. Write it down somewhere on the page. There's lots of room. Here they are. Here are a couple of them. Number 1, goals give us focus. Goals give us focus. If we've got goals, we are working towards something. If we don't have goals, we won't. Now, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. If you don't write down and set a goal, if none of us write down goals, you are definitely going in a direction, just not in a direction you want to go in. Yeah. The second thing about goals is important is that they allow us to measure progress. If there is no goal, there is no measurement, objective measurement to determine whether we're actually moving in the right direction or not. If you're trying to get thinner, if there is no goal, I'm going to lose 5 kilograms in a month. If you don't have a goal to lose 5 kilograms in a month, and we have this loose idea that I just want to lose weight, then we'll have no real idea as to whether we're moving forward or not. There needs to be measurable progress to help us to eliminate distractions. If you are easily distracted, goals will enable you to avoid that. Number whatever it is, they help us to overcome procrastination. Most of us in this room have a level of procrastination. Like all of us are going to lose some weight this year. We're just going to start tomorrow. Yeah. Procrastination. Another thing that writing goals down helps us to do is to keep motivated. If you're trying to get thinner and you stand on the scale and you're trying to lose 5 kilograms in a month and you stand on the scale and it says, congratulations, you've lost 1.2 kilos, it feels good. My gosh, I'm moving forward. I've done something of value. Goals keep us motivated. And the reason that all of this happens, the reason that goals work that way, is because goals and vision help us because they're a definite, measurable thing we can see. A definite, measurable thing you can see. In other words, it's a visible declaration of our intent. It's a visible declaration of our intent. I want to do something, and this is a reminder of what I want to do. Yeah. If you go to a personal trainer and the personal trainer who wants to teach you, train you, is 15 or 20 or 30 kilograms overweight, it's kind of like, yeah. But if you see your personal trainer that's ripped like me with big pecs and a six pack, and you look at them, you go like, yo. We have people that run fitness organizations in our church, and every time I walk past them, I'm like, yo. I mean, that six-pack, and I know that it's possible that I could get that six-pack. I would just have to do what they do to get it. Yeah. And I'm just not convinced I'm ready for that. Is that right?
Yeah.
But you see the vision. If you want to go to an overseas holiday and you want to save, I don't know, you want to go on a skiing holiday and you want to save for that, put a photograph of your favorite ski destination on the fridge, and every time you get to the fridge, you'll be like, that's a goal. I can see it. It changes the way we think. It's a visible declaration of our intent. If you're saving to get married, and every time you look at your fiance's naked finger, and it doesn't have the engagement ring, it's a vision. Yeah. All good? Some of you thought, yo, this is steamy. It's not that kind of service. And even God speaks of the importance of setting goals. Now, like all these famous motivational speakers and authors, you know, they claim to have this idea that I started off this whole idea of taking goals. Now, there are many, many great leadership authors and motivational speakers that have spoken about the importance of setting goals. But you know who the first person was? Moses. Yeah. Mo, he documented the importance of documenting goals. Because God spoke to him in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Look at this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the vision. So God's talking to Mo and saying, Mo, this is what you need to tell the people, and this is the vision. But now, that's fine to talk about it, but we need to do more. Now, if you're new to our church, kind of figuring the church out, what you'll do is you'll recognize that when you see something in Scripture that's bolded or italicized, that's when we all get involved together. It's kind of like karaoke Scripture. We all say those things. So we're going to start now. Is that okay? So that's verse 6. Always remember. Now, that's an important statement. So God, through Moses, is saying, hey, Mo, tell them all, always remember these commands I give you today. Teach them to your children and talk about them when you sit at home or you walk along the road or when you lie down or you get up. Look at this. Now remember what we've got to do. Write them down and tie them to your hands as a sign. Tie them on your forehead to remind you, just a little creepy. And write them on your doors and gates. Notice how many times he's talking about writing them, tying them, making sure that they are visible. Why? Because when you document what the vision that you have, it helps us to achieve it. Now, here's the thing. If something is of enough value to us, we'll set goals and vision around it. We've got to write goals. So today we're starting a series that's called See. 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 What do I see? And like I mentioned, although we've spent a little bit of time on goals and vision, we're not going to be talking a great deal about goals and vision throughout the series. In fact, it's just getting the ball rolling so that we can get the context set correctly. The whole purpose of this series is going to help us to see the work of God differently, to see our purpose differently, to see the role we play in life differently, to see how we can think differently. In fact, it's going to be a three-phased series with multiple parts to each phase, and it's going to be quite interesting to see how this unravels. And I really want to challenge us this year to go up levels, not just a level, but level after level, to be more effective in every area of life. And we're starting this series called See, and we're going to start in part one with the most important step. This is not the title of the part of the series yet, but I'll give it to you in a moment. But it starts with a question. Here's the challenge. Many of us have started setting goals already. Many of us have started setting a vision already. But if we haven't done this step first, the goals are wrong. Because if you don't do the step first, the goals you're setting could be wrong, incongruent with what God's calling you to do. And it starts with this question, who do I want to become? Who do I want to become? Who do I want to become? Who do you want to become as a father or a mother? Who do you want to become as a daughter or as a son? Who do you want to become as a sibling? Who do you want to become as a leader? Who do you want to become as a follower of Jesus? Who do you want to become as a business person? Who do you want to become? Because you see, if you set your goals before asking that question, your goals could be wrong. For example, I might want to become a thinner person. But then one of the goals I've set is to enjoy roast potatoes 3 times a week. The goals are incongruent. You might say, I want to become a nicer person. But then you choose to hang out with people that make you less nice. You and I need to ask that question. Who do I want to become? And part one of the series is called Start With Who, Not Do. Start with who, not do. The reason that is important is because when we set goals, almost all of us have already started setting goals that are task or achievement oriented. I'm going to read 3 books a week. I'm going to lose 2 kilograms a month. I'm going to watch one leadership podcast a week. I'm going to listen to leadership material every day. And we can have all of these doing-oriented tasks, but if we haven't asked ourselves, who do I want to become, and if we haven't defined it, here's the challenge which is going to derail us, is it's improbable that we'll end this year content and satisfied. In fact, we're likely to end the year feeling unfulfilled. You may even have made more money. You may even have a bigger business. You may be healthier than you were in the previous year, yet something is missing. It feels like I've done all of this, yet there has to be more. Because you haven't answered the question and worked towards it. Who do I want to become? So what do we need to do? Well, 2 things we're going to look at today. Just 2 things. You came out today for just 2 things. But these 2 things will help you. The first is this. Create who goals before do goals. Who goals before do goals? Who do I want to become? If we set who goals before do goals, the do goals we set will take us towards our who goals. But if we set do goals before who goals, our who goals won't be met. We've got to make sure that we're setting the who goals before the do goals. You know that Jesus asked his disciples a who question. Such an important question, in fact, that it changed the globe. It changed the planet. He asked a question that was so profound that when it was answered, it shaped society and it shaped the world for eternity. And the reason this is important is because when we ask the right questions, we get the right answers and the right results. Here's the challenge. What we see determines how we live. Let me say that again. What we see determines how we live. So let me break this down differently. If you're trying to lose weight, if we don't have a scale and we don't have a mirror, it'll take us longer to lose weight. Because even though we're eating and we're eating foods and we're feeling a little heavier, we can't see the results of that, so we choose not to respond accordingly. But when you're trying to lose weight and you stand on the scale and it says, congratulations, you've gained 2 kilograms, it's like, what? Yeah. You see and you change your actions. Yes. What we see determines how we live, but here's the kicker, the who determines what we see. So we see in a book called Mark, it's in the New Testament of our Bible. And now, Mark was a friend of Jesus. He wrote down a whole lot of accounts in history and documented what Jesus did and some of the things he said. Now, just a short theology lesson. We get stuck in this kind of world, right? We look at people saying, well, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the 4 Gospels, contradict each other. They have different stories. And now, that's not true. They actually call tensions. And the reason we get stuck is because we don't understand the context. So I'm going to give us a little bit of an object lesson. Is that okay? That will help us understand. I'm going to ask Vincent to come up here. He doesn't know this is about to happen. He's looking horrified. Yes, you, Vincent. Do come forth. Just jump up. Here we go. This fine man. But don't look at the people's. Look at the wall. I say. There, look at that. Fine. You've been working out? Nice fish. Okay. This is Vincent. Now what I'm going to do, don't move. Don't. You can smile if you like. This is what's going to happen. So, object lesson. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer what you know. Answer what you see. Is that okay? So it's important. So I'm going to start with this group because you guys look like you're quite intelligent. I just want to know one thing. Does this person have a nose? Okay, no, it's not a trick question. Okay, I made a mistake. They're not the intelligent ones. I'm going to ask you again. Shout it out. Does this man have a nose? No. Let me ask this group of people. Does this man have a nose?
Yes.
Which one of you is right? You're both right. It's not that one's right and one's wrong. It's just that you have a different perspective. How many ears does this man have?
One.
How many ears does this man have? Which one of you is right? Both are right. Does this man have eyes? Does this man have eyes?
Yeah.
How many?
One.
Does this man have eyes?
Yeah.
How many?
Two.
Hmm. You see, that's how the Gospels are written. Each of the four men who wrote the Gospels saw something different in Jesus. So it's not about being right or wrong, it's just different. Does it make sense? The perspective changes things. So we need to look at, when we read about Mark, we start to see Mark chapter 8, he starts telling us a little bit about this question that Jesus asked. And Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. Lots of vodka in my coffee today. No, I'm joking, relax. As they were walking along, he asked them, now remember the process in our church, so what we do. Who do people say I am? Pause for a moment. He says to his disciples, who do people say I am? Not what do people say I am? Or what do you think people think I'm doing? He says, who do people say I am? Jesus is setting the tone of a very important way of analyzing our lives. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist and some say Elijah. And others say you're one of the prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Peter replied, you are the Messiah. A breathtaking revelation, a great breathtaking understanding that Peter had through God. This is what he understood, that Jesus was Savior. I want us to pause for a moment because this is important. Who Jesus is more important than what Jesus did. You see, Jesus was a carpenter. Yes, he was. And Jesus was no doubt a great teacher. He was a great communicator. He was a great son. He was a great brother. He was a great communicator, a great teacher, a great leader. He was a great friend. He was all of those things. And yes, they were important things and he was good at them. That's not the question. You see, long before he was any of those things, he was Messiah. When Mary fell pregnant, she was given the name that she would have to call him through Joseph, his earthly father. And they were told to call him Jesus. They were told to call him Emmanuel. He'd be known as God with us, that he would be known as Savior. He was Savior before he was healer. He was Savior before he was communicator. He was Savior before he was leader. Who he is more important than what he does, which is true for you and me. It's true for you and me. Here's the thing. Maybe you're here tonight thinking, I've got so much baggage. How can a God exist and love me with all my baggage? Well, let's come back to this. Who you are is more important than what you do. The inverse is also true. Maybe you're here tonight thinking, I am genuinely God's gift to the human race. And if you have a look at all of my accomplishments, you can see that, well, who you are is more important than what you do. Who you are and who we are is more important than what we do. Can I remind each and every one of us in the room today that who before do will set you up for greater levels of success? This means that in order for us to set a decent foundation for a significant year, who before do? Ask yourself this question. How would you like to be remembered? How would you like to be remembered? That should be on the screens. Is there any particular reason that is not on the screens? How would you like to be remembered? Clearly there's a problem. I've got heads moving around and confusion. How would you like to be remembered? Because you see, when we answer that question, it changes the way we think. Can I encourage you to write your own eulogy? Write your own eulogy. Not like you're sitting in church going like, what? I came here to celebrate, have a great start to the year, and we're talking about death and dying and eulogies. Hey, write your own eulogy. Because I'd imagine that not very many of us would be too excited if our tombstone said, they built a wonderful business. They had a big bank balance. They had a beautiful car. None of those things matter. Write your own eulogy. How would you like to be remembered? Because if you write your own eulogy, you start to develop a sense of who. And you start to define who you'd like to become. If you're single tonight, stop trying to find the right person. The right person does not exist. We will do a series on that later in the year. Get ready for it. The right person does not exist. Stop sitting in the world going, I've got to find Mr. Right. Mr. Right does not exist. Why? It's a man. Are you okay? But likewise, ladies, there's another problem. You're looking for Mr. Perfect, but you're not. So in this world, we need to stop faffing about Mr. Right. We've got to start getting to the point of going, hey, who do I want to become? If you're single, start becoming who you need to become. Become the person you're looking for is looking for. If you want a faithful man in your life, become a faithful woman. If you want a servant-hearted man in your life, become a servant-hearted woman. And obviously this inverse is also true. Learn to be clear on who before do. And if we get that right, imagine what could change. So where do we start? Number two, here this gives us an indication. Start some disciplines that will shape you into your who. Start some disciplines that will shape you into your who. Now this is cool. I was listening to a leadership podcast from one of my mentors, a guy by the name of Craig Rochelle. He's an incredible leader. He's a very significant author and done some amazing things, and he also happens to be a pastor of one of the largest churches in the world. But I listen to his podcast regularly, and I was listening to his podcast, and I had already started preparing my message, and I was pretty keen where we were going. And when I started hearing, I was like, oh my word, this is amazing. And he coined the phrase "who before do." I stole it. So if you're thinking, man, he's like clever idea, no, not me. I told you, I'm not smart enough for this kind of stuff. I stole it from Pastor Craig, and unapologetically, by the way. And it's a great phrase: who before the do. And he started to help us understand some of the things. And what I started to listen, when I was listening to him, it really inspired me. You know what he did? Every single year, he only starts one new discipline. Not many, just one. And over 20 years, he's implemented one new discipline every year. And he hasn't given up on the others. He keeps going. So over 20 years, he's accumulated 20 disciplines that have shaped him into who he is today. But I reckon one's just not quite enough. You know, we South Africans, we're faster than the Americans. We need to have more than one. But we mustn't go crazy. Can I encourage us that if we're willing, we could just implement one or two things this year that we stick at consistently. Don't have 7 New Year's resolutions. Have one discipline or two disciplines that you can put in place in your life. Write them down, put them on your car, put them on your rear view mirror, whatever, so that whenever you're in a space that gives you a moment to remember it, you will. Yeah. Craig Rochelle said, the small disciplines done consistently lead to big results over time. Yeah. See, the right place to start is to put one of these disciplines in place. Yeah. Just adding one or two new disciplines in your life every single day. Imagine what could change. Yeah. Jesus taught his disciples that all the time. In fact, if we read in the book of Matthew, you'll come across a sections of teachings called the Beatitudes. They're attitudes that you and I should be. Bad language, but it's good. And they're just disciplines that we should put on our lives. But I want to give us some disciplines today in the time we have left, a few minutes. I want to share some disciplines. Now, you don't have to adopt any of them. They're just ideas to get us rolling. And you'll notice that in your notes, there's no space or there's no blanks. That's because we're starting this journey for you to take notes. It's a great place. And I want to encourage you to document these because there are some ideas that will help you. Now, maybe today you kind of figure, I have got room for one new discipline. Then the first one is the one that, in fact, it is the most important of the lot. And the one we're going to get to first is the one that you should start with. And I know that you've come out today expecting profundity on the level of Solomon, but you're going to be disappointed with it. The first one is going to be massively, massively disappointing. It's kind of like one of those things like you went like, It's going to be anticlimactic at best. In fact, it's probably not even worth writing down. It's so weak. But if you write it down and then you implement it, it's the one that will change your life. Fundamentally more than any of the others put together. Like I said, it's a little disappointing. So forgive me because I'm not bright enough to come up with really clever stuff. This is it. Are you ready? You ready for it? It's weak, but write it down. It'll help. Read the Bible daily. Read the Bible daily. Now, I know you were hoping for more. But I'll give you more once you get this right. Is that cool? Because I'd imagine that the vast majority of us in this room don't do this. It seems like yes, of course, but then if yes, of course, then why aren't we doing it? And I'm not saying read the whole Bible every day. Start with like one verse. Now, I'd suggest reading a whole chapter. If you can find it within yourself to read a whole chapter, that would be perfect. But if you don't think you're going to pull that off, then at least read one verse. Now, the danger of reading just one verse is that you could start building all sorts of weird philosophies about your life and about who Jesus is, and you have no context, and in which case that could be a bit dangerous. Like maybe you're feeling a little down, and you open up your Bible, and you read a verse, and it says, Jesus wept. Not too helpful, but at least you read the verse. Or you're thinking, you know, I've got negative tendencies. What should I do? You open the Bible and say Judas went off and hung himself. I'm not sure that that's going to be of value. Are you all okay? You see, reading a verse in isolation is very, very dangerous. But let me say this. It would be better for you to read at least one verse in isolation than no verse at all. So now, how do you start? What verses to read? Well, I'm going to take some pain away, make it easy for you. Download YouVersion. YouVersion is absolutely free. Put it on your smart device. It works on great smart devices like Apple technology and average smart devices like Samsung technology. It works on both. Even shark fans can figure it out. It's all okay. Are you all okay? Just think if you're awake. Any Province fans here today? I never knew that. Kate, get your CV out in the morning. So download YouVersion and read one verse a day, because all you need to do is say, I want the verse of the day. And you wake up in the morning and bah, there it is. And you can read it. And then just to add a little bit of spice, pray about it. So you get your verse for the day and you read it, and then maybe just say to Jesus, maybe this is your prayer life. Start here. Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Can you like tell me what I must actually do with the fact that Jesus wept? And you might over time start to find answers to situations and circumstances and problems and scenarios you never even knew how to resolve. Read the Bible daily, but if you can read a chapter, even better. But can I encourage you to start there? Maybe some of you just need to get up a little earlier or go to bed a little later. Turn off Netflix, turn off DSTV, and just settle with Jesus for 10, 15 minutes. When you're on holiday, when you're walking, if you find it difficult for whatever reason, go to the bathroom. Close the door. No one will interrupt you there. Just find space. Read the Bible daily. You all okay? Look at the person next to you and say, I hope you read it. Look at the person on the other side and say, you too bad. You being helped? Are you being helped?
Yes.
Next discipline that might be of value, journal. Now, I know, gents, that we're in the South, and you know, we're not from Cape Town. We're from South. We're Southern Joe. Like, we're tough guys. We don't journal. No, journal. If you're looking for a manly environment, go to our bathroom, journal there. Just journal. Now, here's the thing. Maybe today you're not a follower of Christ and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to write down anything spiritual because I'm not a follower of Christ. That's great. You don't need to. Because you see, this is not about having a godly principle in your life. It's about having a wise principle in your life. This isn't about following Jesus or any other of the major religions at all. This is just called wisdom. In fact, no matter what you do, if you're a CEO of a business or starting out or going to school, whatever the thing is, if you take the time to take a journal and write down some of the things that you need to get done tomorrow, that's a great place to start. Yeah. Process how you feel by writing a note. My boss shouted at me, I was chipped. Even use bad language if you feel necessary. Because it's not a good practice to swear, and we'll get to that in a moment. What I'm saying is that when you document how you feel, or you document the situations in your life, it helps you to process anxiety and worry and depression. It helps you to process stress. It brings clarity. It gives you hope. It gives you direction. Journal. Find some space to journal. Just take a note. Because when you take a note, it changes everything. Sorry, it's really hot in here. Look, the fans are helping a bit, I hope. But if you outline, just fan the person next to you and get them going as well. You see, when you take the time to write something down, something changes in your life. Church, can I encourage you? Don't get caught up in thinking journaling is only for prissy men or beautiful women. It's also for every man and every woman. Yeah. Every teenager should be journaling. It makes a bit of difference in your life. You're being helped? Yeah. The number third discipline that we're going to look at is celebrate wins. Celebrate the wins of others and yourself. Celebrate. When last did you just celebrate with someone? So often we're stuck in a performance mindset. So what we choose to do is we wait for performance achievements and then we compliment the person. What a great sales presentation, well done. But how about just walking into the office tomorrow and walking up to someone and going, you know what, I just want to say I love having you in the office. It's really great to have you. Yeah. Saying to your children outside of their reports or outside of a test they've written, just I'm so proud of you, you're a legend. Take the time to compliment people. Take the time to celebrate people. You have my son is sitting in the front row, and he's an amazing guy. Hey, Tim. Yeah. He is. Yeah. Say to your kids, compliment. Show your wife that you love her. Some of us are still stuck in that mindset. I told you I loved you at the altar, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. Celebrate wins. Yeah. When something good happens, celebrate it. Make that a discipline you implement. Watch how to change your life. How about this one? Develop eating healthy habits. Healthy eating habits. Choose to say no to the roast potatoes. Can you think of that roast potato for a moment? Golden crispy. Rich meat gravy, thinly sliced roast beef, roasted veg. You pour that gravy over it. The aroma fills your nostrils. Mm. You take your fork and as you push it through the potato, it crackles. You know, like you can see it now, hey? You can see it. What you see determines how you live. Develop eating healthy habits. Number, whatever it is. How about this one? Choose to remove all forms of swearing from your vocabulary. Choose to remove swearing from your vocabulary. Now, here it is. Again, if you're not a follower of Jesus, in other words, you haven't chosen to follow Jesus and obey him, here's the thing. You can choose beyond a shadow of a doubt to swear because you're not agreeing to be submissive to the rules that Christ has set for you. So the precepts of not swearing are godly principle directed towards followers of Christ. Yes, they are. But if you're not a follower of Christ, hey, it doesn't apply to you. But any reasonable thinker and any significant leader in any organization on any country on planet Earth will find vulgarity and swearing demeaning, and all you do if you swear is demean your own credibility. That's fact. So whether you look at swearing as a display of your man or womanhood or your toughness, whatever it is, please understand that the only person you're hurting is you. Yeah. Because when people hear what comes out of your mouth, you lose credibility in an instant. So this isn't a godly principle as much as it is a wise one. Stop swearing. And you go, yeah, but my industry, that's what it is. Then change the industry. You set a different standard. It's simple. But if you're a follower of Christ, here it is. Here's where it becomes tricky. If you're a follower of Christ and you've chosen to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is no room ever in your vocabulary for vulgarity. Remove it from your vocab. I am shocked at how many teenagers still swear. I'm shocked at how many young adults use the F-bomb as a comma. I'm not offended by it in the slightest because it doesn't wreck my credibility. It wrecks theirs. But you've got to stop. If you're a follower of Jesus, just choose to stop. One small discipline, if you implement it, watch how it could change your life. You being helped today?
Yes.
How about this? Aim to be more generous. Oh, my word, I want to be more generous. But not just generous with your money, generous with your time, with your smile, with your encouragement, with your positivity. Be more generous with yourself. Maybe there's just someone that you need to be generous towards. I've got a group of friends. I've got a great set of friends, and we fight about things. We went out to a movie the other night. Some of my guy friends said, hey, listen, let's go and watch Aquaman. And one of the scaly guys that I call my friend got there before us and paid for all the tickets. Savage. But revenge will come. And that's how it works. We fight about paying bills. I literally jumped on my friend's wife. Put my arm around her and held her so that she couldn't get the credit card out of her wallet because the two of them were conniving and making plans. Devious people in my life. Why? Because everyone wants to be generous. When I buy my friends some gifts or whatever, they go, I'll get you back. They don't even say thank you. It's so cool. Why am I saying that here? Because aim to be generous. Look for a lifestyle of generosity. Aim to be generous. Whenever there's an option, my daughter in the car, she cannot cope if she sees someone, a beggar on the side of the road. She cannot. With Paigey, the whole world falls apart. It's not even an option for her. So she will see someone. We're like coming over the crest. She'll see the traffic light coming up. She'll go, Dad, have you got money? I'll go, honey, I don't have any money. Oh, Dad, that's not good enough. Because she cannot cope with not being generous. We need to be generous. Aim to be generous. Make a discipline. How about this? Serve someone in some way. Serve someone in some way. When you get home tonight, jump over the wall and wash your neighbor's car. No, don't jump over the wall. We might be conducting your funeral next week. Let's not do that. But serve someone. Hey, when you find out your friends are having, or someone you know is having an anniversary and they can't get away because of their kids, offer to take their kids. Just, hey, look, bring your kids over. Just hang with me. In fact, leave them overnight. Come back when you're ready. Just enjoy your life. You know, take the time to serve someone. Serve someone with your friendship. Serve someone with whatever you have. One small discipline. Can you see how this changes who you become? One small discipline that can change you. How about this one? Empower someone. If you're a leader today, if you run an organization, don't be fixated on telling people what to do, because yes, if you tell people what to do, you will ultimately develop great followers. You will. Terrific followers. But followers don't change the world. Leaders do. So instead of telling people what to do, empower them to make better decisions themselves. Empower them to lead. Because you see, if you're good at empowering someone, it changes things. So why don't you take some time to implement the discipline of identifying one or two people in your life into whom you'd like to invest. Invest money, time, leadership, development, passion, enthusiasm. Invest into someone. Yeah. Invest into them. Because you see, when you invest them into them, something changes. Now, this is the purpose of our church. You might not know that if you haven't been coming to our church for a long time. Maybe you haven't thought it through. But our church is solely focused on the idea of empowerment. If you had to say today, what's the purpose of Bridge Church? Empowering people. Now, empowering them to do what? Well, on a journey. And we have a journey that we follow in our church, four core values, if you like, an eternal mindset that we follow. We want to empower people in four areas. And if you've been in our church for any length of time, you know this off by heart. I'm going to ask you to shout them out with me because it helps everyone to learn. Here it is. The first is we want to empower people to love God. We want to empower people to love God. If we can empower you to learn to meet Jesus, not the Jesus with a gray beard and a big stick that beats you, but rather the Jesus who has an incredible passion to see your life thrive, for you to live into your potential and to blossom in every area. That's the Jesus I serve. But we want to empower people to love God. We want to empower every single person to find their purpose more effectively in loving God. The second thing is we need to empower people to love people. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We read what God said in Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But it's still the same principle. Yeah. And you see, if you and I are going to be effective in life, we need to love God and love people. So we want to empower you to love people the way Christ did. And boy, that's not easy to do, but we've got to try. We also want to empower everybody. The third principle is to discover purpose. We want to discover, help empower you to discover your purpose. Because if you can discover your purpose, your who becomes so much more feasible. And lastly, we want to empower you to gain influence. Those four things. And the greatest form of gaining influence is servanthood. You and I will never truly influence another life unless we're willing to serve them. Jesus came to be served, not to serve, right? Right? No, not right. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Jesus came to serve others. So if you and I, look up for a moment, look up. If you and I are willing, if you and I are willing just to focus on the who before the do, who do I want to become? Who do you want to become? And then empower yourself to love God and love people and to gain influence, to discover your purpose and gain influence and to be more effective on everything that you do. If you and I are willing to implement just a few disciplines, it doesn't have to be the world. Pick one, and if you're going to pick one, you know which one it is. But look in your life at who do I want to become and then implement a discipline that's going to take you closer if you just consistently implement it day after day. You see, discipline matters. Craig Rochelle again said this, discipline closes the gap between what you want and what you achieve. Because you and I can want the world, but if we don't have the discipline, we'll achieve nothing. And that all starts with who, not do. You been helped tonight?
Thank you for listening to this message today. We pray God's best for all areas of your life. For more information or more resources, please visit bridgechurch.org.za.